When we begin to submit ourselves to the inferior, we allow anxiety, stress to fill our minds with all the what-ifs that have no life to them. And the enemy, again, is working to undermine identity, first love relationship, and this whole thing of being an authentic representation of Jesus. I love this verse, verse 8. I like it because I like really practical things because I need practical things. He says, this is just some of the study that I did for myself this last year sometime. But he said, look at verse 8 again. Finally, brethren, whatever things that are true are absolute and they're liberating. Remember, truth sets you free. So think about that which is absolute and liberating. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. That word noble is honorable, revered. Whatever things are just, that is righteous, correct, innocent. Whatever things are pure, that's holy and sacred. Whatever things are lovely, that's pleasing and agreeable. Whatever things are of good report, that's well reported of, it's attractive. Whatever things are, if there's any virtue, this word virtue is moral goodness, but it's also excellence. And if there's anything praiseworthy. This, I don't know if this will make sense to you, but sometimes I've been having a real battle. Maybe somebody, you know, just did something that really, really was against what they should have done. I'll be nice. Somebody just really steps outside the line of what they're doing and maybe representing me or us as a house, whatever it might be. And, you know, like anybody else, I got this mind thing going on where I've got to make sure that I stay. I can't ignore a problem if I'm responsible, but I also don't have to fuel it with my own stress and anxiety, because then I will come to wrong conclusions and I will misapply truth for my sake and not theirs. That was more true than you realize. And the scripture says I'm supposed to fill my mind with certain things. And if I'm struggling with that, here's what I do. I will think about my wife because she is everything in verse 8. She is. She's so true, so absolute, so life-giving. She is so lovely and praiseworthy and virtuous. She is so excellent. All those things. I honestly will just stop. If I'm having a difficult day, I go, okay, I've got to recalibrate. What is it that I love about my wife? And I start to think specifically about those things. And it's hard to be mad at anybody when you start thinking of those kinds of things. Are you catching my drift here? It's hard if I'm filling my heart and mind, recalibrating what's important, recalibrating my heart, my mind, my thought life to what's valuable. As soon as I do that, something takes place in me where I am at a place where maybe I have a responsibility with this individual that has just betrayed or done something dumb. Maybe I have a responsibility there. But when I recalibrate my thoughts as to what is righteous and good, I don't come to that person that I need to work with abusively. Yeah. I come to them in grace. Does that make any sense to you? You know, this thing has to be practical, and Jesus illustrated it the best. I want you to look at one more portion of scripture, and then we'll wrap this up. Go to John 13. John 13, this is something we studied here, I think a couple of years ago now, but it's a very, very meaningful passage to me. Jesus is soon to go to the cross. I've already described a little bit just the suffering that he was to go through, the abandonment by all of his disciples, the betrayal by Judas himself, all of this that he knew about, that he was just stepping into in this moment. it tells us what he was thinking in that moment, which is this, what, this is what floors me. He was doing what we were instructed to do in Philippians 4. So this is what he is conscious of in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. The next couple of verses, he washes the disciples' feet. There's three things that are very specific for any person in this room. Let me announce to you why I'm talking about this today. I felt this morning in praying that God was actually going to end a mental battle for a number of people, and it will end in here today. I really sense that this morning. I felt like I had a word of promise from the Lord regarding this. If you've been here any length of time, you know I don't throw that kind of a statement out very often, but I felt this morning that the Lord was going to bring peace to a chaotic, anxious thing for a number of folks. And I've not seen a season like this. In fact, there's been a number of suicides across our nation of high-profile people, even in ministry. And it's just one of the most horrible things. Bitterness is immature murder. Self-condemnation and self-hatred is immature suicide. In other words, it's just undeveloped. And it's the reason we have to stay so far away from those kinds of patterns of thought. It's not that I'm going to go kill myself. It's just that it is already killing me. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Even people who don't murder still speak unkindly and release death into a given situation. So in this passage, it tells us this Jesus knowing. So that tells me what Jesus was conscious of as he was about to head into this betrayal, cross situation. What does it say? It says, Jesus knowing all things had been given to him by the Father. There's an interesting twist. You're about to lose your life, and what you're thinking about is that everything is yours. You're about to suffer the greatest loss anyone has ever experienced, and what's on your mind is, I've already re-inherited everything. This is practical. He says, Jesus, knowing all things had been given to him by the Father, just a little insert here. Jesus, as God, already owned everything. But he laid that down, if you will, to become a man, and he now re-inherits everything as a man. It's mentioned in John 16. So here it's identified. He says, Jesus, knowing all things had been given to him by the Father, number one. And number two, he came from the Father and he was about to go home. In other words, he's going to step into eternal purpose and eternal destiny. So what was he thinking about when he was about to be betrayed? That. Unlimited resource and a destiny that can't be challenged or changed. That's about as practical as it gets. Facing betrayal, crucifixion, all the stuff he's thinking about. I've just inherited everything. Now, as the Son of Man, and I'm about to ascend to the Father into eternal destiny, eternal purpose. And the third thing he did was he washed his disciples' feet. What's the point? Come back next week and I'll tell you. It's an overused joke, sorry. To me, the serving is what, this will be a weird illustration. Jesus, mindful, everything was his. He was going to the Father. Two-part epoxy. It was the serving that brought him together. It was what makes practical his own confidence in his own destiny is the fact that he lost nothing by going low. Many people can't go low because their identity is wrapped up in a title or a position. When Jesus illustrates going low is actually revealed his security.